Okay, good vach, everybody. It's a really special, incredible schus to be back. To be back together. To be back together here as well. First of all, I want to thank Paiskel Michal Yerichsanya. I want to thank Lexi and Chloe and the whole mishpacha for opening up their bias to Torah and Amir Hashem. It should be a big schus for only Simcha and Bracha for the entire mishpacha. And it's beautiful also. It's very, very, very special just to be able to show, you know, obviously we had a little Bein Azmanim. I was in Eretz Yisrael. Others were in Eretz Yisrael and other places. And we haven't learned together in the five towns in a while, in a little bit. And it was, therefore, I feel important that we were learning together this Matzei Shabbos. We couldn't learn in our normal Makom. So Baruch Hashem, immediately Lexi said for sure and would love to open up her bias to Torah. But I think it's a big lesson to each and every one of us that our Torah and our growth and our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is not bound by any particular place and any particular time. And it's something that wherever we are at every stage of life, hopefully it's something we're going to continuously connect to and find places to grow and find places to continue to get close to Hashem and continue learning the Holy Torah. Also, just all the learning tonight, all the Soros, all the Chizik tonight is going to be L'Rafu Shalema, for a very special family member of the Chevra. And the Mitzvah, everyone should take the name down to Davin for Avram Chaim ben Yenta Falka. Avram Chaim ben Yenta Falka, who should have a big refuah, Yeshua, Bez Hashem Bekarov, Bez Hashem. And all the schusim of tonight, all the Torah, all the chizik, all the Cyrus should be a big schus for his refuah Shalema, Bez Hashem Isbarach. You know, one of our responsibilities as a Yid is not merely to obviously put in the time and the energy into our own personal avodas Hashem, but to try our best to inspire others as well. To machazik others and to mashpi on others, to influence others. Like the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos tells us that's the key of mitzvah of avas Hashem. Avas Hashem, to love Hashem, it's clearly a very important mitzvah. It's one of the mitzvahs tamidios. It's constant to love Hashem. There might be nothing that we say more often than Shema, and right away the opening words of Shema after that initial pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol midecha, to love Hashem with all our hearts. How you mekayim avas Hashem? What does that mean exactly? What does it mean? You know, to love another person. So obviously we could share our love with that other person, we could hug that other person, show love, care. What does it mean? What does Avas Hashem really mean? How are we mekayim? What's the key mitzvah of Avas Hashem? And what's the chiyuv? What's the obligation of it? Just to love, just to feel, is that what it's all about? And perhaps the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says the key mitzvah, the way we're mekayim Avas Hashem, is actually in a very particular way. It says when you love something, you love someone, you want to spread that to the world. You want to spread that to the world. You know, imagine you had a shir that you went to and you were very inspired by, and you mamish, you loved it, you connected to it. It was really something very special. So you don't just keep that for yourself. Because you loved it, you send it to all your friends. You want everyone to experience it. You want everyone to have a taste of it, right? When you love something, when you love it, you want to share it with the world. So the Rambam says, you really love Hashem? You know, you mekayim to show that you truly love Hashem. You spread Hashem to others. And you bring others closer to Hashem. Whether that be family members, whether that be friends, whether that be stam yidin that you're meeting for the first time. In other words, each and every one of us has to have a little chabadnik in us, you know? Every one of us. To care for others, to give to others. That's a key mitzvah of Hashem. I really, truly love Hashem. I want the whole world to love Hashem. I want everyone to have a piece of that. And all of us are involved, sometimes more proactively, sometimes just by being ourselves. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we understand certain individuals are not open to being spoken to. But just by being a Bas Torah and walking as a Bas Torah and holding yourself proud to be a Bas Torah amongst others, often that itself, by the way, has hashpa. That itself is the biggest influence you can have on others. But let's say you had him on. You want to inspire someone. You want to really be mechazik someone. So what are you going to do? You're going to perhaps invite them for Shabbos. invite them to Shabbos Kodesh, to have a beautiful Shabbos together. For a Shabbos Suda, with Zmiros, with delicious food, with Torah. Maybe you invite them to an inspiring shir. Maybe you have them come over for some Torah and take them to shul and watch dancing with the Torahs, right? We have different times. The beginning, that first taste, is going to be something that's crucial, that's fundamental, that's important, that's inspiring. You want that first taste of Judaism to be very inspirational, obviously. You're not going to have the first taste of Judaism, is not going to be something that's dull and mundane, because then why do I really want a part of that, right? You're never going to introduce someone, let's say you meet a friend in college and work and wherever it might be that's not yet from. You're not going to, and it was like Kislev, Tevis, Tavina. The first thing, invite them over for Aseret B'Tevis to tell them to fast. That's not going to work, right? That's generally not going to be the first approach. We, at this point in our lives, understand, hopefully, the beauty and the importance in even fasting and sacrificing for Hashem, but that's not going to be the first taste. That will be pretty detrimental and probably turn them off from wanting to be part of this beautiful nation that we have this chus to be a part of and be part of these, and they are the children of Hashem, to recognize it and appreciate it and live it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there by our side throughout our history, but we're finally, these parashios, becoming a nation, becoming Klal Yisrael. During these parashios, Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach, ultimately with Kabbalah HaTorah and Parashas Yisrael coming up. So we'd assume and we'd hope that very first mitzvah that Hashem is going to give to us is probably going to be one that has to be extremely fundamental. That very first mitzvah should be very inspiring. That very first mitzvah that we're going to connect to should be something that we could look at always for inspiration, I would hope, I would assume. Yet what is the very first mitzvah? We read it this morning in the Leining in Shul. The very first mitzvah is HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Now Rosh Chodesh is nice. But like, really? Rosh Chodesh? That's the first one? That's so important? That's the first mitzvah that I'm going to give over to Bnei Yisrael? Of all the mitzvahs? Like, what do we even do in Rosh Chodesh? I mean, we say Yal V'Yavo. Hallel's beautiful. Outside of that, so, you know what? Rosh Chodesh? Like, that's the first mitzvah? Why is that the first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael? Because there has to be a lot of depth in it. There has to be a lot to be learned from it. And I want to share a few different approaches. I'll hopefully build something very special. Some maybe is a little chazar from the past, and some is, I would assume and hope, very, very new. And the first idea that I always connected to was the Svarno. The Svarno, in one or two lines, has a beautiful idea. The mamash is life-changing. Life-changing. You know, this past week, we just finished in the world, hopefully not in our world, because we understand, not that it's not a tragedy we said, but ultimately we understand there are bigger things to have in our minds in a certain sense. But, you know, they just finished this past week the Shiva of Kobe Bryant. Right? I mean, everyone knows who Kobe Bryant was, even here, I assume, I would, right? In the world, it was a terrible tragedy that you had 9 people that were killed in such a sad way. You had 3 children, 3 13-year-old girls. I mean, we can't imagine what these families are going through. It's a terrible tragedy. At the same time, I don't believe Kobe Bryant, if you know about his history and things he's done, and we don't need to talk about that publicly right now, is someone that we have to really look at as any form of a role model or anyone that we need to learn from. We don't have to go into that right now. But what I want to just say, is that at the same time, this was big in the news and big in the world. And everybody here knew about this. And I believe deeply anything that happens in the world, anything that we're aware of and connected to, there's what to be learning from that. There's what to connecting from that. And whether you did, and some did, talk about certain lessons from the way that he played basketball and a work ethic and a passion, and which we could then take and put it into places that are very, very important in life. Way more important than throwing a basketball into a hoop. There's nothing wrong with playing sports. I still enjoy sports. I don't mean that, but what I mean by that is there are definitely bigger endeavors in our lives. But I think just pashut, When you hear about such a tragedy, you hear about 9 people that were taking what seems to us way early in their lives. It's a wake-up call, and that's so prominent in the news, whether we knew who these people or didn't or whatever, but so prominent in the news, it's a wake-up call, I think, to each and every one of us, just to recognize how precious life is, how precious every moment of life is, and how nobody knows what the next day is going to bring. Nobody knows what that day is going to bring. Could you imagine this mother, his wife, who said goodbye to her husband, said goodbye to her 13-year-old daughter to go play in some basketball tournament, gave a kiss, like nothing, probably not a big deal, never to see her daughter again. I mean, we have no idea. We don't know one day to the next. Well, and now it's not, and not the chas v'shalom. Nobody should be walking around depressed and think maybe this is my last. Lo aleinu. Nobody. If just Hashem wants us to be b'simcha every single moment, but also a sense of recognition of how precious time is, and making the most of every day, making the most of every moment that Hashem blesses us with, that Hashem gifts us with, how precious time is. When we were in Mitzrayim and we were slaves, you know what it means to be a slave? You know what it means to be a servant, an eved? It means I don't have the freedom of time. That's what it really ultimately means. I don't have the freedom of time. I don't have the rights to my time. My time is owned. I'm told, I'm commanded what to do with my time. I can't choose how to utilize my time. My time is defined by my master. That's what it means to be an eved. What does it then mean to have chayrus, to be free, to have gula, to have redemption? What does it mean? It's really the freedom of time. It means now I have my time. Now I get to choose to do with my time what I'd like to do, which all of us have, Baruch Hashem. That's what Hashem was doing when He took us out of Mitzrayim. So what does He then give us, the very first mitzvah? And this is what the Sfarno says so beautifully. HaChodesh HaZalachem. You know what that is? The sanctification of time. The concept of the Rosh Chodesh is make your time holy. The concept of the Rosh Chodesh is mekadesh your time. Now that I'm giving you time and you're going to have this throughout your lives, use it wisely and make it holy. Use every moment in a holy fashion, in a special, in a meaningful fashion, in a productive fashion. That's the foundation. That's the very first secret of life. Lead a meaningful, productive life. And by the way, that's how we're going to all be most happy. When we feel, you know those days, lo aleinu, but we all have them, let's be real. Very often I personally sometimes feel them like on a Sunday when you don't have as much structure in the day. Even though we all look forward to like those days off and where we have less structure. But ultimately, often those days when we have less structure, we end up not grabbing on and not having as productive days and we're a little bit lazier and we don't. And then, but let's be real, in those days, I'm not saying, if you need to relax, you need to chill, you need that time, but you're doing that consciously, that's good. We all need that. But when it's just a day and you have all the time in the world and you don't really do much with it, let's be real, we all don't feel good about ourselves. There's this like feeling of laziness, that feeling of like, it wasn't a good day. And a day where even we don't have a minute to our day and we're moving, but we're being productive in whatever way that is, we feel good about ourselves. There's a certain simchas l'chaim that goes along with that. Hashem wants that from us. Hashem wants us to be mekadesh every single moment. And that's the very first mitzvah, Rosh Chodesh. Make the most of every moment. When I think of this concept, I always think about a story I read years ago. I've shared this story before, but it's worth repeating. I'm sure some of you read the book. You should, if you didn't, it's well worth reading. There's a lot of chizik from it. It's a book. What's the name of the book? The Last Lecture. Anyone read the book, Last Lecture? The Last Lecture, it's kedai to read. It's a small book. It's an easy read. Don't worry if you're afraid of books. I don't know how many, you know. Some people are afraid of books. You look, you know. This is like a very small book. And it's like mamish, like this. And it's like, you could do it. You know, you could read it in one Shabbos. And there's pictures even a little bit, you know. We always like that. Come on. If you see a few pictures, you're good to go. Not a lot of pictures, but there's pictures. Anyways, the last lecture was written by a professor, Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch was a professor in a university, and had a few small children. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed with a very serious form of cancer. And the doctors gave a terrible prognosis, told him in 6 months to live, nothing we could do. Latest stages, type of cancer it was. And that year he was going to give in his university, where his professor, every year, one professor gave this like yearly lecture. Each year one was honored to give to the whole entire campus, like, and it was a big thing, thousands of people, and he happened to be chosen that year. This year when he was diagnosed, and he was going to give the lecture. And he decided to use that spot to give a lecture, which was basically like a life lessons and a lasting will and testament to his children. It's incredible. You could go online, you could watch the lecture actually as well. But then he took the lecture and turned it into a book and added a little bit more. It's worth watching the lecture. It's worth reading the book. It's really inspiring. Very, very special. He ended up living a lot longer than the doctors thought, but he did pass away. This professor, Randy Pasch. And in there, he gives one story I want to share that I can't think that a day goes by, not a week goes by without thinking about this story personally. He says he went into a supermarket and he had to buy a few items. And he goes, there was a self-checkout lane. You know, like we have Chesed Nishto, Stop and Shop by Lowe's. I don't, you know, you've been in stores where they have a self-checkout lane. So he goes and he scans the items and it comes out of Chesed Nishto, I don't know, $18.63, something like that. And he puts his credit card in and he's waiting, nothing happens. He puts his credit card in again and two receipts come out. He paid twice. So now he has a dilemma. What's he going to do? So he thinks to himself, I could go and I'll find a manager. And probably that manager I find, you know, he's not going to have the authority to help me. So he's going to have to find a higher manager. That higher manager is going to have to find, like, a higher manager. Finally, I'm going to get my money back. I have the two receipts right here. It's clear as day. I have the product. There's no question. It's not like we're not going to court over this. But ultimately, it could take 20 minutes. It took 25 minutes. And he thought to himself, you know what? I'd rather have 25 more minutes of my life to spend with my family, to spend with my children, to be productive, than $18.63 back in my pocket. And he walked out, happier to have that time to utilize than the few extra dollars. And I think it's incredible to hear and to understand how precious time is. How precious is the time that Hashem blesses, and that's the first lesson of Rosh Chodesh, that each and every one of us have to maximize the time that Hashem blesses us with. Whether it's spending time with our family, whether it's in our learning, whether it's in our davening, whether it's in doing chesed, but being productive with the time that Hashem blesses us. But there's more to be learned from Rosh Chodesh. There's much more to be learned from Rosh Chodesh as well. In Rosh Chodesh, how do we know, how do we determine Rosh Chodesh? So the moon, we know the moon in our visibility and the way that it interacts with the sun and this world, so it's constantly changing. And in the middle of the month, you have this full, beautiful moon, and then it's waning, slowly getting smaller and smaller until it completely disappears. It's black. And then suddenly, it's when we see the moon and the renewal, that's Rosh Chodesh. And that's the biggest chizuk in the world. The celebration of Rosh Chodesh. That even when things in our life seem dark and seem bleak and seem that there isn't so much hope and we're down and out, whether it's because something we've done or something going on in our family life, or lo aleinu, someone has a sickness, or we're dealing with some issues in parnas or shiduchim or whatever it might be, and we feel like it's very dark. It's chadshus. There's always going to be that renewal. Hashem's going to bring it. That's the chizik of Rosh Chodesh. That each and every one of us need to believe in every day of our life, every moment of our life. You know, there was a big tzaddik that lived through the Holocaust. He was in Bergen-Belsen in the concentration camp. Rabbi Yisrael Spira, the Blujava Rebbe. The Blujava Rebbe was an amazing mamish, a tzaddik, who was mechazik all the Yidden in the Holocaust. And it was Pesach in Bergen-Belsen. I can imagine what it was, Pesach in Bergen-Belsen. And the irony, Pesach is this yontif where we celebrate Geula. These parshios, right? And your mamish is no bigger time of avodas. You're in a concentration camp. You've lost your whole family. Yet you're going to celebrate Pesach. And it's amazing. You didn't try to the best of their ability, whatever they were able to do. Their stories of like nisim, how they were able to get just a few matzahs and whatever they could do to celebrate a Pesach. The determination, the strength, the mesiras nefesh of Yidden and mamish, it's the most inspiring thing in the world. And whatever it was, they had some level of Seder late at night in Bergen-Belsen in the barrack, led by the Blizhev Rebbe. There were a few children and a few adults. And the child gets up and he says, Manishtana, Laila Zemi Kali Los. Shibachol Ozano Echlim Chame Tu Matzo. Halaila Ze Kulo Matzo. All the nights we're eating. Now they're in the barracks. They're in Bergen-Belsen. They're eating nothing ever. But this is what we say, right? It was dark in the barracks. The moon's silvery pale glow was reflected on the pale faces. And the Blizhev Rebbe, after the Manishtana, answers, "Tonight we experience our greatest suffering. Tonight we have only matzah. We have no moments of relief." That's what they were feeling. They were kulomar. They were kulomar. But this is what he says. Listen closely. Listen to these words. Incredible. This is what he came up with and said. But do not despair, my young friends. For this is also the beginning of a redemption. We are slaves who serve Paro Mitzrayim. And what's the answer after Manatana? Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu. And he said to them, if you take avadim, the word avadim, and you look at the Rashi Tevos, Ayin, Beis, Dal, Yud, Mem, it spells out the Rashi Tevos, David, Ben, Yishai, Avdecha, Meshichecha. David is Dalid, Ben, Beis, Yishai is Yud, Avdecha, Ayin, Meshichecha, Mem, are the letters of avadim. You write it out if you see it. Avadim ayinu, meaning as we're slaves, this is what he said over. Avadim is already a remez, is already a hint to what? Davim beyisha, avdavim shichacha, there's going to be redemption, and we have to believe it. Even in our state of slavery, we find the seed of our freedom through the coming of Mashiach. Meaning what? That's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is also the constant reminder. The constant reminder to each and every one of us that even when it seems like things are so dark, that darkness is only going to lead to light. It's only going to lead to ischachus. We have to believe it in the moment, even while we're going through it, we have to believe it. Not just wait till it happens. This was in Bergen-Belsen, is what he was saying. That also is a lesson. Maybe that's as well why it's the first mitzvah. Because we all need this chizuk. But I want to share one final idea. The final day, it's each and every one of our individual avodas. That was general, that was for everybody. And each and every one of you should connect this more than even I do. What I'm about to share, because if the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar explains that the Yontif Rosh Chodesh is a Yontif that was given over specifically more so to women. That you have this Yontif. Maybe that means you should have a special Suda. It used to be women wouldn't do malacha even on Rosh Chodesh. That's not necessarily the minhag today. But it's a special yanta for women. For what? In reward. Then we'll know this Pirkei Lazar. Why? It's supposed to be for what? Because the women did not partake in Chet Egel. But the Chet Egel, the men were throwing and giving money and gold and silver. And the women said, no, we don't want a part in this. The women understood, I'm not doing this. The women wouldn't give their jewelry, wouldn't give... They say, no way. So the women were rewarded with Rosh Chodesh. And the question is, what's the Midah Kenegah? Midah, Mayin, Shvita, Ezer, Sinai? What does Rosh Chodesh have anything to do with not partaking in Chet Egel? What does that have to do? And I'll tell you what I always believed. And through this we could understand the final depth in the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. You know what women understood? What happened by Chet Egel? These were men that were taken out of Mitzrayim, that saw the 10 Makos, revelations of God. How could they suddenly, because Moshe went up and he's one day late in their minds, suddenly we're going to serve a golden calf? Really? It's crazy. It doesn't make sense to any of us. Let's be real, right? So most Mefarshim explain one Yisod. It wasn't that God forbid they were going to serve this golden calf as a god, but their whole lives they always had Moshe Rabbeinu as the intermediary between them and Hashem. They always had Moshe Rabbeinu to interact with Hashem through. They thought they lost their intermediary with Hashem. They mamish were in such despair that they were building the golden calf because they felt that would be the new intermediary. Not as a god, but as an intermediary. Through this golden calf, they would serve God. Because the golden calf was the god in Mitzrayim, and there was some depth within that, and they still felt connected to that, but not as a god, as an intermediary with Hashem. The women, therefore, understood that, yes, it's nice to have a rabbi, it's nice to have someone to inspire us. I have my personal relationship with Hashem. I have a personal relationship with Hashem. I don't need an intermediary. I could talk to Hashem. I could interact with him. He's my father. He's my God. I don't need to be a Gadol Hadar to have a relationship with Hashem. And women understood this emotionally, understood what that was. Therefore, they didn't need this golden calf. Rosh Chodesh is an incredible yontif. You know why? It determines all the Yom Tovim. Dependent on that is when we celebrate Yontiv, when we connect Hashem through Pesach and Sukkot and Yom Kippur and all the Yom Tovim. But you know who determines it? You know who defines it? We do. We, based on one or two Yidden seeing the new moon, they go to Bezdin, we determine, we create it. It's our initiative, our creativity. Women understood, I could do that. Women understood that personal relationship with Hashem, that what Rosh Chodesh in a certain sense represents, which is something incredible, to have a personal relationship with Hashem. And it's a reminder that each and every one of us needs that personal relationship with Hashem. Not just the global relationship with Hashem, because I'm part of Klal Yisrael, which is beautiful, but I have a personal relationship with Hashem. In my Rebbe, Rav Lachman, he used to always share with us the following Torah. The last of the Chamushi Chumshi Torah is Sefer Dvarim. Now, if you're writing, an author's writing a book, the end of the book is going to be like the pinnacle. It's going to be the lingering taste. You want to end on a high and something very special. Yet God's Sefer ends with Sefer Dvarim. Very, very strange. Why? Because if you know anything about Sefer Dvarim, it's very different than the first four books of the Torah. Sefer Dvarim is all Moshe's words. The first four books are God's words. The Sefer Dvarim is Moshe's words. It's Moshe's Torah. It's actually, if you look closely in Devarim compared to the first four books, it's written in different tense. All the first four books says Hashem spoke, Vayidav Hashem el Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe. In third person. Because it's God writing these words. I mean, Moshe literally wrote them, but God saying these words. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says, it was like, you know how we envision like a D-book? Like God took over Moshe's mouth and spoke through Moshe. But it was like literally the words of Hashem, word for word. Sefer Dvarim, Moshe's choosing the words. It's all Nevuah, it's all prophecy, it's all on the same level. But Moshe chose how to write it. It's Moshe's Torah. And that's why you'll find first person, by Dabar Hashem Eli, Hashem spoke to me. You'll never find something like that in the first four books. In Sefer Dvarim, you find it throughout. It's Moshe's words. God's going to end this great work of God, Torah, that we live our lives by. He's going to end it with Moshe's words. Rav Lachman explained so beautifully. You know, one could learn through Torah, and you learn through, and you see all the mitzvahs in the Torah that are global, that are for all of us, and we all have, and you can get lost in feeling like I'm shackled, I'm just part of this nation, but where's my personal touch? Where's my personal initiative? Where's my personal creativity? Where's my relationship with Hashem? So we end, the pinnacle of Sefer Dvarim, that was all Moshe's initiative, Moshe's creativity, his own personal words, his addition that is elevated to a level like the first four books. It's still all deraisa, it's all from the Torah. We have 70 new mitzvahs in Dvarim, it's all on the same level as the first few hundred. And we need this initiative. We need each and every one of us, our special relationship with Hashem. And that's what Rosh Chodesh reminds us. Just like we all felt, you all felt as women. You all felt, by the Chet Egel not to be involved in it because you knew you have a personal relationship with Hashem. How should we ensure that we have that personal relationship with Hashem? I want to suggest one etza. You know, there's a medrash that says the Torah was specifically given to the Dor She'ochle Man. The Torah was given to the generation that ate the man. Why was that so important? Shkayach, we ate the man. Why that generation? There's something like specific that generation had to receive the Torah. Like, why? So I thought maybe, there's a lot of ideas. I don't want to go into all of it right now. But I thought one yesod that we could suggest. We all know famously, the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. The same, I could be sitting next to you and we're given, you know, sudas man. We're sitting there and you're given your portion, I'm giving my portion. It looks exactly the same. It feels exactly the same. And I'm eating some filet mignon, some delicious steak, you know, medium, done perfectly and mamish delicious. And you're sitting and having some penne alla vodka. It looks exactly the same, but that's what you want, and that's what I want. Right? It was very personal. It was very individualized. The Torah was given Dar Shoich Leman to understand we all need... It's not sometimes the Torah could look like we all have the same mitzvos, and we all... And it's true. There is that needs to be part of Klal Yisrael, which is very beautiful. But I need my individual relationship as well. I need my connection as well. So how can I ensure to do that? How can I make sure? This is a pasuk in Kohelet, V'halach b'darchei libecha. V'halach b'darchei libecha. You have to go in the way of your heart. Meaning what? Each and every one of us, we hopefully, to the best of our ability, keep 613 mitzvahs. And we'll keep Shabbos, and we are trying to be as tzedua as we can. And we daven every day. And we learn Torah. And we try to be as kind as we could to others, and go through all the mitzvahs. We're trying the best to keep them all. It's not Baruch Hashem. We're not saying, this mitzvah that's not for me. I don't do it at all. Every mitzvah we try. Again, there's some we're better at, some that we're. But then there's v'halach libecha b'dar. There's some v'halach b'darchi libecha. There's some that each of us individually like really connect to. Really connect to. Like one girl really connects to saying Tehillim. I really connect. Others, okay, I'll do it when I need to, but that's not my thing. So I really, you know, Shabbos, I'm a Shabbos yid. Shabbos, Kodesh, I'll never miss going to shul a couple of Shabbos, and the Suda Shabbos, and preparing for Shabbos. My heart speaks to Shabbos. Some mamish, my tznius, it's something that, it's not just that I do it, it's like mamish, I think about it all the time, and I work on it all the time, and that's like mamish, my thing. That's what I feel, that's my libecha. We all need our thing. And it doesn't mean, again, I'm keeping it all to the best of my ability. But I also have my individualized thing, my way, my libech, my heart, that I put a little more focus in, a little more time, a little more emphasis in. And in that area, it's my individual relationship with Hashem. In that area, there's something very deeply connected. I feel it. And you'll see, it will elevate all of my avodas Hashem. You know, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, 118b. Read you the Gemara, it's a very interesting Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman says, Teiti li, dekayames gimel sudas b'Shabbos. I should receive reward, give me reward, because I eat three meals on Shabbos. Let me just read the Gemara, and we'll discuss it. Amar Rav Yehuda says, Teiti li, I should gain reward. The kayamas ian tefila, I analyze tefila and delve into prayer. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Shua, Teiti li, delo sagina dal amos begilei rosh. I never walk four amos with my head uncovered. He's always made sure, very medayik, never walked four amos without his yarmulke, without a hat, whatever it was. Amar Rav Sheshes, Teiti li, gift me, I deserve reward. The kayam to tefillin. Mitzvah tefillin. I always wear tefillin. I'm mekayim the mitzvah tefillin. I'm Rav Nachman. Teiti li dekayam mitzvah tzitzis. I fulfilled tzitzis. We're talking, these are mamish tanoim. These are, we can't even understand the level of holiness of these rabbis that I'm reading you from. You know, we hear of, and maybe some of you have visited, big tzaddikim, rabbis, big people, but like, we're talking the biggest of big. And he says, "All right, give to me because I wear tzitzis." I'll tell you a little secret. I don't like to talk about myself. I wear tzitzis. I'm telling you, I wear tzitzis. And I wear tefillin. And I eat 3 meals on Shabbos. Okay, Shal Shud is still, this time of the year is hard. We all know that. But we try at least something to Mekayim Shal Shudis, right? And I daven, I try my best daven. I don't think I walk 4 amos without wearing a yarmulke. You know what else? Tefillin. I don't remember the last time I missed a day of tefillin. Like maybe Amar Ari Yehuda. Like I should be in this Gemara too. Like what's going on? What's so special? Really? You really here? Who is it? Tzitzis. Who was the last one? Rav Nachman. You think you deserve such great reward because you wear tefillin? And who does it? It's like, really? What are you talking about? Which Tana didn't wear tefillin? Like, I deserve where I wear tefillin. I wear tzitzis. I eat 3 sudas on Shabbos. Like, really? What's going on? These tzaddikim were saying, Vada, like all tzaddikim and all, hopefully, of Ovdei Hashem, we're keeping all of Torah. These were the mitzvahs that were their mitzvahs. They wore tefillin, he wore tefillin in a way we can't even understand, the kavanos, the machshavos, the kavod, how often, whatever it was, his tzitzis, mamish, who knows what. Mamish, these were mitzvahs that, it was their mitzvah. It was their mitzvah. And they believed that was their key to Olam HaBa, in a sense. That was their key to tzchar. If other than doing it all else. But so to each and every one of us. If Rosh Chodesh reminds us of this chiddush, of our new, special, individualized relationship with Hashem, which was the women understood. How do we make sure that we have that? I believe deeply if we have our area that's special for me. Each and every one of us different. Don't worry about anyone. V'holach b'darchi libecha, what speaks to your heart. Find that mitzvah. Vada, try to, for sure, we're always trying to improve on all mitzvahs. Don't get me wrong. But whatever that mitzvah is, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's my wife's bubby, of a shalom, a tzaddikas, she came. She was a survivor of the Holocaust, kaddish dikayid. She was in America over 50 years. She hardly spoke a word of English, like literally not a word, because she spoke Yiddish, Hungarian. You know, she went through all of Tehillim every day. All of Tehillim every single day for her children, for her grandchildren. She would sit by the window in her apartment in Williamsburg and zog all of Tehillim every single day. She was a Tehillim dikayid. Teiti li shamarti Tehillim. So if she said that, I also say Tehillim. You also say Tehillim. No, but that you say Tehillim like that. That's v'halach b'dar. That was her libecha. I'm not saying that doesn't have to be your libecha. Your libecha could be your mincha every day. We all try to have a mincha. My mincha, mamish, I make sure and I take time and. It could be my tznius, it could be my Shabbos, it could be a certain chesed that I do that, again, we're doing everything else also. But there's one area that I uplift, that I am mechadish in my life. That's my Rosh Chodesh Tikka Avoida. And that develops a relationship with Hashem in such a special way, because that's my individual relationship with Hashem. I have my global relationship with Hashem, which is so special, but that's my individual relationship with Hashem. Which is incredible. You know what you'll be zoicha to? Listen to this. It's in the end, the last Mishnah, in the first parak in Kedushin in the Yerushalmi. You guys might not be able to. Most, when you learn of, when you hear of men learning Gemara, it's almost always Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud. There's a Yerushalmi Gemara as well, that was in Eretz Yisrael. It's not as prevalent, not as learned as often. It's very, very difficult to learn. Listen, just 1-2 lines. The Yerushalmi says, it's Perek Aleph Halacha Tes in Kedushin. Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas. Anyone who does one mitzvah, mativin lo will be good for him. And here, Sfarim explains, talking about in Olam Haba, in Olam Haba. Umarichin es yomo v'no, very lengthy days. V'noichel et aretz. And he'll inherit the world. What does it mean to inherit the world? It's hard to understand exactly what that means. Some say it means it's mainly Olam Haba, but it could mean even in this world. Meaning everything will be good for you. So you read this line, what a crazy, you do one mitzvah, we've all done one mitzvah, check, I'm good to go. Who here hasn't done a mitzvah today? A mitzvah, one mitzvah, you know what it means, kol is a mitzvah achas, meaning if you have your one mitzvah, if you have your one mitzvah, like those tzaddikim we read, or tefillin, tzitzis, whatever it might be, so you have your other mitzvah, I have Shabbos, I have mincha, I have tznius, I have some sort of chesed that I do, I have my mitzvah. My mitzvah, incredible. So Chevra, today we had Baruch Hashem this very first mitzvah, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. The very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael got. And we asked, we want to understand, on the surface it seems very bland, very mundane. Now we understand Mamash is the root of everything. To remind us, again like the Svarno, of Kedushas HaZman, to utilize every moment, to make the most of every moment, to maximize our time in this world, how precious time is. How precious time is. As Randy Pausch taught us in the supermarket. And to recognize as well, just as the moon, when it gets very, very dark, everything's going to be okay. Hashem runs the world. There's going to be a light. Avadim is a remez to David Menisha Abdecha Meshichecha. And we have to believe that, and we have to know that, and we have to have that emun, and that bitachon, and that hope, no matter what we're going through at every stage of life, at every state of life. But also to remind us to have that chiddush in our life, to have that personal relationship, that individual relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. To be zoichet to have Rosh Chodesh, therefore, is not just his chadshus, but milashon chiddush, our chiddush. I'm bringing my chiddush, my mitzvah, my personal relationship with Hashem. And then we'll be zoichet, as the Mishnah says, kol es mitzvah achas, mativin lo, umarichin es yama, v'noichas aretz, toli simcha bracha, for each and every one of you, and all of Klal Yisrael, Beres Hashem. As Hashem into Zoichet, Rosh Chodesh will go back the way it was with Bezdin, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.